Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always a pleasure to be asked back to Curtis Chapel. We have a lot of friends here, and it's always good to come back and give the word. Very blessed, and keep Dan in the line of prayers. We'll be back next week. They're on vacation right now. Pray for Dan and his health and his hip. He's been not doing too good. So I don't think he has to get surgery, but he's got to get it rehabbed. I know that. So when your bones break down, so things start going south after 16.
I guess. Friday's class.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, I kind of cracked them up. I just said, the Bible does say around 70, you might as well think about, cashing your chips in somewhere around between that and 80. He goes, oh, thanks a lot. But hey, Gene doesn't think that way, guys. Gene says that will not enter her mind. So I agree with Gene. But the bottom line is we're all going to go at one given time and stuff like that. And, my message today is, at the end of your life, you're going to stand before God. You're going to meet the Creator. The Creator. And I think people lose fact of that matter out here nowadays. And it's just like, it's hard to understand that because we're in fleshly bodies. But, my message today is one thing the Bible refers to God's more than anything in the Bible is His holiness. God is a holy God. And it says that more so than anything about Him. And I heard a couple of interesting references. Did you know the Bible refers to God's holiness other than any other saying in the Bible? And I think of it this way. God is all loving, but you hear the angels around the throne, they're not saying loving, loving, loving God. He is a loving God. Or God is all-knowing, but do you ever see in the Bible that it says omniscient, omniscient, omniscient? No. It says His power and might have no limit, but the songs recorded in the book of Revelation don't say powerful, 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 which He is. The cry of the heavenly host is holy, holy, holy. God is called holy than He is called anything else in the Bible. What does it mean when the Bible says God is holy? It means two things. The first one, God's holiness is His separateness from us. It means God is separate from everything and every one of us down here. He's totally different. In 1 Timothy 6, we read, He who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. Man, oh man, unapproachable. Isn't that something else? Unapproachable. I'm trying to grasp all this stuff, but it's just hard to understand the stuff that we read here. Something unapproachable, you can't even approach it. No one has seen God or can see God. In several places in the Bible, we read passages that say, God is not a man that He should. Over and over, the Scripture teaches us that we should always view God not as human, but as spirit. But God is separate from us. He was the only being in the universe not created. That's hard to understand, isn't it, guys? He's the only one that was not created. And He's created everything. So it kind of makes you think, it's like, why would the creature not want to worship the Creator? But it's just the opposite. They're worshiping the created instead of the Creator. And it's hard to figure that out. So by faith we know God is God. And that's it. In the Bible, He only tells you a certain amount of things that He wants you to know about Him. Do I know where God came from? Did I ever know yet? No, I don't. Nobody else does either. So stop trying to figure it out. I guarantee you one thing, these evolutionists think that everything was just a big bang theory made out of everything. I can guarantee you that did not happen either. I can guarantee 1,000% guarantee that did not happen. So God is God, and that's it. You know what he says? He says, I am. I am, and that is it. Where did you come from? That's all he wants us to know. If he wanted us to know more than that, he would say that. So, he is being in the universe. He is not created. For God alone is the creator. He is separate and above his creation. He is eternally unique because there's no one like him. There's no comparing him to anyone. God alone is God. He always has been and always will be. The righteous and holy God. God's holiness is also... means it is also part of the sinlessness. He has no sin at all. God's holiness conveys his absolute what? He's purity. He's pure. First John says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He's perfect, no sin, nor will he ever sin. He is holy. There's people in the Bible who met this awesome God that we're talking about right now and encountered his holiness. And we're going to look at three or four of these guys tonight, today, and encounter his holiness. What would we do if we encountered God? If he were to make himself visible right here in front of us right now? The Bible is filled with kings and beggars and prophets and prostitutes and warriors, merchants and thieves that is encountered before at some given time. And when these Bible heroes encountered God, they all acted in the same way. They trembled, they cowered. Some went mute, silent, and thought that they were about to die. I mean, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what that must be like. There's a passage where Gabriel, one of the second or third angels of the Lord who was working for the Lord, appeared to somebody and they wanted to know who he was. He says these words. I was talking to a buddy of mine. He goes, man, when I think of this, it makes the hair on the back of my head stand up. He goes, behold. This is what Gabriel, the angel, said. Behold, I stand in the presence of God. I mean, just it's like we're here, like I'm standing on his foot, and you're standing right next to Almighty God. I mean, he says it's the way he sounded with an exclamation point is like you're experiencing supernatural wonder. I mean, you know, God created the angels and he created the humans and all things and. You know, I wonder sometimes what it would be like to be created as an angel, an eternal angel, like Gabriel or Michael. Not Lucifer, though, but you know what I'm saying, dude. I mean, to serve the Lord and just be in that, but you know, he's created us, and he loves us, and that's more than the angels. He loves us more than the angels. He loves every one of us. He died for every one of us. That's what we're leading into right now because of sin. You know, that's where the holiness and sin, you know, they just don't go. And we had to have a bridge. The Lord Jesus had to come down as a man who is God to reconnect us with a holy and pure God that cannot look upon sin. And that will not be a part of anything in the next life, in the kingdom of eternal life. I mean, this is the sinful world we deal with. When the Bible says encounter, they all act the same way. Well, let's look at a few of these men right now. Let's look at Moses. Moses was right there. I mean, this is an interesting, it's in Exodus. With him, no man can see God and live. Okay, we know that no man can see God and live. But the Lord gave him a way to experience a little glimpse of him in Exodus 23. So the Lord said to Moses, he goes, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. But he said, you cannot see my face. No man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and ye shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by. Then I will put you into the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my backside. But my face you shall not be seen. Shall not see. So all Moses was able to see was his backside. And as I progress the story, I mean, this is just his backside, Almighty God, and what it did to his face. Can you imagine that? Now look what happened when Moses reconnected. After God showed him his glory, and then Moses had to come down from the mountain to reconnect with his followers from Mount Sinai in Exodus 34, it says, so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, they said, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. His face was so illuminated. Can you imagine how heavy and bright his face was illuminated? And he had to wear a veil over his face. When he spoke to others, his face would glow with God's glory and holiness. Unbelievable. That's how it was for Moses, you know, to experience that. Job is another one. He says Job was righteous and within a few days lost all his health, his money, his children, in a series of devastating satanic attacks. I mean, and it's true, if you ever think you're having a bad day, go read the first couple chapters of Job and you won't think it's so bad. Chapter 38, God reveals himself to him. He details how the stars were created, the moon was created, how creation was created, the animals. And after he went through that whole series of creation, that he said, you know, because Job was demanding answers to his questions. And when God says, you know, who is this that darkens counsel by words with no knowledge? You've got no knowledge of what you're saying. He goes, now you're going to be quiet and answer me, you know, and keep your mouth shut, basically. And he goes, you're going to answer me. He goes, I'm demanding answers to you. Job responds, you know, after when God gets done with reprimanding, he says, behold, I am vile. He says, I am vile. How can I answer you? He says, I lay my hand over my mouth. I know that you can do anything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we need to, all of us just need to put our hands over our mouths and be quiet so we don't say something stupid to God. You know, it was just, I think of that day when you die or you're rapturing and you're standing before your creator. It's like, well, it was that day. I mean, what do you say? I mean, you know, I heard some of these people that I did one message about, the guy that saw like the great white throne judgment and what it's like standing before God, and he just said words can't describe what it's like to stand before, you know, God when he had that in his vision. I believe he was scared to death, but he just said words can't describe what that day is going to be like. I mean, what do you really say to God when you stand before him? You don't say nothing. You're going to be listening to what he says to you. And I heard that people that if they want to get in arguments or question, or I heard the Bible also says that their mouths will be quiet. They won't be able to say nothing, which is the correct thing to do, because it's your judgment day. You know, we are to be judged on everything that has been done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Probably the most famous encounter with the holiness of God came from the encounter with Isaiah. The prophet went to the temple to pray and he asked for God's direction. This is Isaiah. What happens to a man who has been king for 52 years and then dies? What happens next? And when he arrived at the temple that day, he wasn't prepared for what he saw. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6, and that's going to tell us a little bit about what that encounter was like. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone.'" This is Isaiah speaking. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell within the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord say, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" So as we look at this passage, Isaiah was completely stunned. Now what happened? What was going on? And he saw himself as he really was. What was he? What was Isaiah? What did he see himself as he really was in the presence of God? Can anybody tell me that?
Unclean.
Unclean? What else? Starts with an S. Yes. Thank you, Jean. He saw himself as who he really was, a sinner. You know, and as we walk this planet while we're alive, a lot of people don't look at themselves as a sinner down here, created by a holy God that cannot look upon sin. They don't look at themselves that way. But God looks at us that way. That's why Jesus had to come down here and die for us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because if he did not do that, there's no way we could be reconciled to God Almighty. We could not be saved. We would never have eternal life. That's the price that had to be paid to pay for that sin that he can't look upon. And that's the sad thing, is those people don't realize that they need a Savior. Because you'll stand before God either as Jesus as your Savior or your judge. Look at the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He had a spiritual and physical thing happen to him, and his eyes were physically and spiritually open, to where his encounter with Jesus that day, Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Just like that, after that week that he had spent with the Lord, how that change was. I mean, that's what it's like to be born again, really. I mean, you're going from one to the other. Your old self to your new self. That's why God says, be holy, because what? He is holy. don't grieve the Holy Spirit that you have. Because we're going to get into some choices that we all make. And He's given us the freedom, whether you're a believer or not a believer, Christian or not Christian, you have choices to make every day. Whether it be good or bad choices. What about John? He wrote the book of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. The first three, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John had an encounter with God in Revelation. He saw the Lord's hair like blinding snow, and His eyes were flames of fire. His voice like many waters. And John said, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as what? Dead. With that, how would we feel if that would happen to us today? We would fall on our face. We would say, woe is me, because we are undone. That's why Jesus had to come to this world. We could never approach a holy God with our sins. Jesus had to rescue us, and He did. The cross is a picture of God's holiness. That's what it comes down to. It represents His holiness. He doesn't just let things slide down here. He's very orderly. And, you know, I know, Ray, you always say that. You know, why? With just a thought, can you just start? You can start over. It's hard to wrap your mind around that. But that's, God is an eternal, loving, graceful God. You know, I drive around sometimes, but I said, you know, people won't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't fellowship, they don't have any consideration. I said, if anything, you should be obsessed with them. I mean, you should want to know about them and read the Bible and talk to others. And you know what's so funny about reading the Bible and giving these messages and stuff like that? You know, I get so much out of it. But you know what? After doing this for over almost 20 years, or it just seems like a month I've been doing it. It's the Bible is just endless, 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 eternal Word of God. That you just like, it's like you're scratching the surface of the Bible. I mean, you know, and you read this stuff over and over, and it's never boring, and it's always refreshing. But it's just like, it's such a separate book than anything that you ever read on the planet. That's why the Bible and the Word of God is so separate from everything. It's eternal. It really, really is. And it just, you never get tired of it. It just seems like I'm always, you know, just learning. I try to start reading the book of Isaiah. That's a difficult book. It's a long book. But I'm trying to train myself. I just said, maybe I'll just read the first couple chapters over and over again for like a week to try to get each, because you know, people that just read the Bible, you're really not going to get nothing. You've got to study it. You know, try to carefully take your time. You know, say, oh yeah, you ever see those people that say, oh, I've read the Bible over the weekend? I said, really, the whole deal? Oh, okay. I bet you couldn't name me five books of the 66 out of that. You know, they're reading through it. You can't read it. You got to study it. But you do read it, and you try to ask God to teach you what it means. It's no use of reading something and not getting anything out of it. So, okay. Jesus came into this world sinless, reflecting the holiness of heaven. And when He came to the cross, He came as a spotless Lamb of God. Paid for the sins of the world, and He not only paid, but He paid it full. He's the only one who could do that. Because of His holiness, He turned His back on His Son. He's too holy to look upon sin. God had to turn His back on His only begotten Son because of His, what? Holiness. Right? Because He could not look upon sin. That His Son had bared for the entire world, not just us down here, but for the world. The cross of Jesus Christ is the greatest picture of the holiness of God that you will ever see. You know, when Jesus said, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I mean, that's a heavy duty passage. When God had to turn his back on his only son. You know, and by accepting what Jesus did on the cross, you know, God will count us righteous instead of unrighteous. And, you know, people think they got to add to that or do something to do that or reach out to other entities or other gods. I think there's many, many, many ways to God, but no. The Bible is very clear. It's all through what Jesus did, and it's because of sin. And that's why, I will say that it's a picture of his holiness, of what Jesus did on the cross. We should be holy because he commanded it to us. Not that we're perfect down here, but we could try. You know, we are not perfect. We don't always feel holy, do we? No. No. I don't feel holy. All right? In life, there's always choices. Like I said earlier, good ones and bad ones. We face them every day. Lord, with our choices, help us to take the right road. The holy road. We are called to be holy. One day we will be as holy as God because we will see Him. We'll be like Him. 1 John reads, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, that's why in life, I like that proverb. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own way of thinking. Lean not unto your own way of thinking, and he shall direct your path. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. What does that mean? Not in some of your ways, not in a few things in life. Everything you do in life, acknowledge him. And he says he will direct your way. You know, I cannot think of anything better than that to try to get through life. And people with their egos and their pride say, no, I'll handle it. I'll do it my way. God, hey, buddy, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you're going to ask me that I'm going to consult the creator of the universe on how to go about my life in all aspects of my life, and you say to me that you're going to direct my path in a good way, why don't you want to take that? That's why when you go your own way, you have nothing but problems. You've got nothing but heartache. You've got nothing but sorrow. You've got nothing but pain. Why? Because you're not acknowledging God in anything you do. He knows us better than we know us. You know that? You know, that's why when people make the wrong decisions about marrying the wrong person and getting divorced and getting involved with the wrong people, they hang around the wrong people. They don't edify the Lord. They hang around with, let's say, unbelievers. That's to say that that's not going to happen in the world because you do got to be around unbelievers. But, you know, you don't want to get paired up with them too closely and be buddies. Anyone who is a friend of the world is an enemy towards God. You can't do that. You got to make wise decisions on who you get around. That's why when everybody comes to church on Sunday, you're with a group of people that are agreeing with the same thing. Jesus. Coming to church. I was looking into some of these scriptures talking about his holiness. 2 Corinthians 1 says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to the completion in the fear of the Lord. First Peter says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" So he's not just saying that because he's got nothing better to say. He's saying it because he's a holy, and he's trying to tell us to be holy. Not acting, you know, unholy. Yeah, there we go. Try to think of something to go with that. Take unholy however you want to take unholy. The holy is unholy. Or what about this little singer I found in Hebrews 12:14? "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God." So that means the believers, when we have eternal life and get that, we will be holy. That's why it just says, without holiness, no one will see God. People that haven't accepted Christ as their Savior, when they go to hell, they obviously were not holy. Because it says, without holiness, no one will see God. You've got to put that on. That's why we're going to have new bodies, new minds. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. No more sin in the next life. It's all going to be gone. Because we're going to see Jesus as the 2 Timothy says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." A couple more, we're going to close out a little early today, guys. Romans 6. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to what? Holiness. And the result is eternal life." Isn't that a comforting thing? Right? It says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." He's just going to give us some awesome, encouraging words. God is an encourager, not a discourager. "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst?" 1 Corinthians says that. "Our bodies are temples of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One, who is understanding." Just so encouraging. Just so encouraging today. I mean, just to think about that, how God wants us to live. And then when we meet Him, what a glorious time that'll be to stand before God and meet Him and be glorified and to be forgiven. I mean, it's kind of exciting. I mean, you know, just wonder what that day is like to die and then leave your body and then and be face to face with this awesome God that we read about in the Scripture and we live for. And that's why doing these ministries are so important. You know, God will reward us for all this stuff, you know, that we would throw crowns, Lord willing, at His feet one day, saying that we are not worthy. And that's how we think about it. That's what life is all about. He made us to glorify Him and praise Him and worship Him. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. So I'm glad everybody came out today. We're blessed. I'm just going to close. Father, we just thank You for bringing us out today, Lord. We're so blessed to hear Your Word, God, to live by Your Word, God. We thank You for this church. Again, we lift up the ministry coming up this week, the conference. We lift the mission coming back up. You know, we're busy about the Lord's work right now. Lord, bless us, Lord. Bless us with these words about being holy. Let us acknowledge You more, Lord, and be holy more, and be aware of being holy and representing You in that type of manner, Lord, and letting men so see our good works that we glorify You. So, Lord, again, thank You for this day. Take us home in safety, and I pray for coming back on Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I think we're going to close out one last hymn. So,
Numbers 672.
Yep.
First and last verses.